This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 392. The internet said it, so it must be true. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
What you doing?
Struggling to speak.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, some of us shouldn't get all crunk day before recording.
Yeah.
Maybe
we could. I have learned the valuable lesson.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
you don't drink and party hard
the day before recording.
Before work.
Correct. You turn down for what? After
you,
work hours.
You turn down until after you work, and then you turn it up for everything.
Okay.
That's when you fire up your loud, is after work.
But you failed to do so.
I don't do things in the appropriate order.
No, you don't.
And now I get to sound like I've been smoking cigarettes for like six years.
And stuff. So, yay.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
Sorry.
And all that stuff.
I love you, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you so much, bro.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Totally not going to mention my birthday's coming up, bro.
You just did, bro.
What? No way.
Yeah,
I didn't just do that.
Yeah, you did. You did.
No.
I can't wait for this week to be over.
Oh, man.
Because then I can go at least 4 months without having to hear that your birthday's coming up.
But no, it's coming up.
No, I'm going to spend every month after your birthday reminding you that my birthday's coming up.
Well, that's fine.
Okay. As much as you've talked about your birthday.
Well, I mean, you're coming up on a very special birthday
yourself.
No,
I'm not. Last one was a very special
colonoscopy!
Birthday. Okay? Last one was a very special birthday, and I spent most of it trying to cheer your sourpuss ass up.
I know. I had a very bitchy face at your birthday
dinner. So I spent my birthday trying to cheer you up.
Because some people
make other people's birthdays about them, sis.
Well, that's okay, because...
No, it's not okay.
No, it's okay.
It was my birthday.
It's okay because...
Because why? Why is it okay?
Because when the panda birthday happens, we're all going to get down. It's going to be like everybody's birthday at the same time.
But see, here's the difference. That's
I'm willing
not
to
true.
Share the glory
no,
of my birthday.
No, you're not sharing the glory because you're going to hog the glory because every place you're going to go will be like, it's my birthday!
Not if I don't have a voice.
Yeah, no, trust me. Somehow, miraculously, you're
I'll bring a
voice.
Whiteboard that I can write
you're
on.
Serious, you'll have Siri say it for you.
It's like,
Siri,
repeat this every 15
can
minutes.
Can you tell people what today is? Today is July 3rd, Amanda. It's your birthday. And you're just going to have that on loop every place we go.
Yep.
So
I
don't
will
even put it like that.
Pandas find their ways.
I just want to put it out there that my birthday
is February 1st.
Which was a milestone birthday for me this last year, by the way.
Oh, this one's not a milestone for me?
Excuse me. Hold on. We're talking about my birthday.
That's right.
Hold on. I'm having a moment right now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. My milestone birthday, I had to spend the entire dinner, Panda, which you didn't pay for, by the way.
Nope.
Trying to cheer you up and not have a sour look on your face, which didn't work, because you were fighting with somebody else.
Who was at your party?
So I didn't get to enjoy my party, because I spent the entire hour trying to cheer you up. Because you were fighting over, if I remember correctly, some bullshit that you both forgot about the next morning and were fine. But that still didn't take away from my birthday not being as enjoyable because I was spending it on you. And now I have to spend your birthday on you. So I just want to put that out there.
I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have to.
So that the world knows that in the equation, I am not a douche.
You are not the douche.
So I'm going to put it out there. Why put ice cream in my face?
Okay. That shot cake looks delicious.
It was delicious. It is now no more.
It looks great.
But we're not here to talk about people's birthdays.
No, we're not.
Surprisingly enough.
We're here to talk about awesome video game, tech gadget, nerd stuff.
We're here to talk about nerd stuff. So there's a couple things I want to talk
Geekery.
About. So first up, Google I.O. happened. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, why it's important. Because I'll be honest with you, I have yet to be impressed by anything
Google has created. No, wait, is it I.O. or A.O.?
I.O. As in input, output. I/O.
Got it.
Yeah.
Not A.O.
No. And the thing about Google I.O. is, you know, there have been a lot of things that Google has talked about at the conference that I've thought were really interesting, but ultimately, like, not things that I would want to own or buy or have in my own life. Like, when they started talking about Google Glass, on the high level, I was very interested in it because I thought, wow, you know, we're even closer to having computers that are tapped into our biometrics, and that would be an amazing thing to be able to look up information on the internet in my head as opposed to using a device. That's also really kind of scary. But as I started thinking it through, you know, walking around with a video camera and being able to, with a motion of your eye, start recording or stop recording, or that opens itself up for a level of invasion of privacy that I don't think anybody's really thought about. And now, you know, those few thoughts that I had back then when they first announced it, now seeing places, you know, bar people from entering the establishment if they're using if they're using Google Glass, because it makes other patrons uncomfortable, because you could be taping people on the down low, kind of verifies that fear that I had, those initial thoughts. You know, technology is great, but, you know, as we keep advancing, we seem to be finding more and more ways to kind of get rid of people's privacy, and very much Big Brother is watching you.
It's Skynet.
It really is Skynet. And so this I.O., one of their big things that they were touting was a new Android watch. Okay, because everyone has talked about rumors about Apple coming out with a watch, some kind of smartwatch.
So it's going to be an iPod Shuffle on a band?
Well, we're talking... No.
Is it going to be an iPad on a wristband?
So the Android watch is a very big, kind of clunky device-looking thing that takes some of the features of a smart device and puts them at your wrist. So one of the things that I would, on a gadget side, really be very interested in is I would love to have a wearable that I could, that one, look cool, okay, because it's got to look cool. It can't just be functional. It's got to look good, okay? But I would love to have a wearable that I could be able to have caller ID on so that when I'm in meetings and my personal phone is ringing, I can see very quickly without having to whip out my phone or carry it with me in a visible way to see who's calling, to see if I need to excuse myself and take that personal call. So I would love to have a wearable that I have that Bluetooth ability with caller ID, the ability to send a call directly to voicemail, the ability to very quickly see if I have new mail. I would like the wearable to track my motion, because one of the reasons why I have a Nike Fuel Band is that I do like seeing how many steps I'm taking in the day, because I do try to take more than the 10,000 steps in a day that they recommend. I like to keep track of, you know, just how active I'm being or not being, to compare, you know, a week where I'm not necessarily feeling the greatest to maybe a week where I am, and see if it's because I'm more or less active that's happened. I find that to be very interesting, so I would love that in a wearable. I don't necessarily need something that'll, like, track my heart rate or things like that, but...
Or your oxygen levels.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I would be interested in something that could control music playing either on my phone or on my computer. So the ability to, you know, skip tracks from my wrist as opposed to always having going back to my computer for when I'm cleaning or doing things in the backyard and that kind of thing. That would definitely be of value to me and be something I'd want to invest in. But not all of those things have come together yet in a wearable that, you know, also looks cool, that doesn't look bulky.
Right.
And the Android watch is no different. That being said, you know, Apple's had a bunch of conversations with Nike. So there's rumors that Nike and Apple are working on the Apple wearable together, and the Nike stuff's going to be integrated in, which would be very interesting. But, you know anything that Apple's going to design more than likely is going to look cool. Whether or not it's going to be completely functional for all the things that I just talked about is a completely different story. But I think if you look at their history and the things that they're doing with, like, CarPlay, of bringing all of the great hands-free type technology that's available on the iPad and on the iPhone into your car so that you can more safely enjoy streaming media and medias of different types and phone calls while you're driving, and that being a built-in thing that they're partnering with car dealerships to be, you know, seamless and sexily integrated. I'd be curious to see what Apple's wearable, because I don't want to call it a watch because I can't believe that it's just going to be a timepiece.
Well, it's not going to be, because all their other elements, all their other products have had watch clock features. That would not be new innovation.
Well, they
new
all
innovation.
Have clock features. And if you got a previous Shuffle, you had watch faces on it. And there were a bunch of companies that made wristbands so that you could wear it like a watch. And I'll be honest with you.
You have like four.
I have one. I don't have four.
Oh. Okay.
I have one band. And I absolutely love that band for when I was going to the gym, because it was the perfect length. You know, with my headphones on, I could have full range of arm motion without having to worry about pulling my earbuds out.
Right.
And I was able to have more than, you know, 2 hours worth of music on that. So I never listened to the same playlist while I was working out either. Plus, it did have the Nike thing built in, so when I put my chip in my shoe, I could count my steps and whatnot. So I really liked that I had that all there. What I didn't have was the ability to control, you know, like I said, music playing on my computer when I was cleaning in my living room. So that I was still having to go over to my iPad and use remote to change the songs that were streaming on my Apple TV, or if I was playing them off the iPad, I'd have to go over to the iPad to switch them, and that took me out of my rhythm sometimes. And I really get frustrated when I'm chilling in the backyard and I've got a playlist going and I want to skip a track and I can't just, you know, use the remote that came with my speaker dock because it doesn't talk to my iPad app. So I can't switch it. I have to get up and do it. So I'm hopeful that whatever wearable Apple has been working on will breach some of these things, because the Android ones just haven't done it yet. Like, I've been waiting for the device. I don't care if it's Android, Apple, or somebody else's. If it works and it controls those things.
A Zune.
Even if it was a Zune, if it did all those things correctly.
You would be okay.
And interface with the things that I'm using. Like, if there was a Zune device that looks sexy and allowed me, you know, as a wearable to do all that stuff that I said.
You'd be all for it?
I'd be all for it, because I don't care what the platform is, as long as it works with the apps that I'm working with and lets me control them and gives me that caller ID and email screen. I'm down. Take my money.
Okay.
So I'm hopeful that somebody will have a wearable soon that will do those things, because I think that, you know, that's kind of where we're moving to. And I think that's one of the reasons that so many people were interested in Google Glass initially, was the idea of being able to, with less feel of mainframe in front of you, right? Even with a laptop, you feel like you have a computer in front of you.
Yeah, but there were so many things that were going on with Google Glass, like with people taking pictures particularly, and I'm not trying to rain on Google Glass's parade, but I mean, I've had several encounters with males wearing them, and like, obviously, like, that long stare, and then you realize, because then they correct themselves and state that, like, they were taking pictures. So, like, there's that weird factor of design where it's like, well, you're on that border of looking mildly creepy all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, when you think about it in the day-to-day applications, it is something that can be very intrusive, right? As a person who is not wearing glass, when you are around people who are, you always have to have the thought running in the back of your mind, I could be being recorded right now.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, in order to record people, you are supposed to get their, you know, consent. You're not supposed to just go out and just randomly record people. You know, even in public, you know, in certain situations, there is an expectation of privacy. Like, when you go out to dinner with friends, you're not expecting that everybody in the restaurant is taping your conversation.
In fact, I know for a fact that no one is taping my conversation.
You know that, you know, there are people around you that are probably hearing you talk and picking up pieces of your conversation because, you know, you're out in public and you're talking in public, but you don't expect that you're being recorded other than whatever on-premise security is in the building.
Right.
Now with Google Glass, any person walking up to you, by you, near you, could theoretically be recording you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a... a sense of, you know, violation of privacy there.
Of intrusion.
You know, and I definitely understand that. Like, I get leery whenever I'm out in public and I see people, you know, taking photos of other people, but their camera's pointed in my general direction. Like, and after I have the thought of, well, let me just photobomb this really badly, I start churning on the, you know, think about how many photos I'm probably in the background of that I have no idea that I am.
Oh, God. And where they're published. With our likelihood of going to a con or something, there's many,
you know,
many pictures where we're doing something in the background.
When you're being photographed, and I don't necessarily want to subscribe to the school of, well, get comfortable with the fact that you're constantly being recorded. You know, I don't think that we're there yet, and I don't think that we need to be there yet. So,
no.
I really wasn't all that impressed with any of the things that I read about coming out of Google I.O. Here's hoping that, you know, with the coming of the fall, that there'll be some great announcements from some other companies. We have a lot of great games to look forward to. So maybe there'll be some developments there, but lackluster, to be honest with you. So that was like the first thing that I had that was happening now that I wanted to touch base on. Because I like to be of the moment.
There's nothing wrong with being of the moment. I do it every other day. I'm present for the present half the time.
Half the time.
Half the time I'm there all the time.
And the other half of the time,
I don't know where I am.
I was going to say you're asleep.
Oh, I could be.
Yep.
I don't know. I black out.
Or eating pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah, there's that. The other thing that I was going to talk about today on the show was a game that I think I've mentioned a little bit about, but haven't really delved into. No, you're going to be surprised.
Oh, am I?
Yes, it's Battle Cry.
Oh, all right. Yes, I am completely, utterly shocked that you even want to talk about this.
It's not Assassin's time yet.
Oh, because it's coming.
It's coming. Like, I'm
like
not gonna
winter,
lie.
It's coming.
Like September, it's going to be really hard to not be all Assassins.
It's going to be all other fast.
All Assassins all time. But, no, I wanted to talk about Battle Cry. So it's one of the games that I really was surprised that I even gravitated towards. Because, guys, I hope you're sitting down. Are you sitting down?
I am.
I hope you're sitting in traffic and it's moving really slow.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Yeah, no, I hope it's really slow because what I'm about to say might rock your world.
Well, I hope you guys all have air conditioning at least.
I hope you have airbags, just in case.
Whoa.
Wear your seatbelts. It's a PC game. That's right.
See, I'm giving her oh my god face.
I took the words out of Panda.
Which never happens.
Never happens. But yeah, so it's a PC title. And I typically don't play PC games. Really, the only things that I've ever played PC game-wise, I played...
The Sims.
I played the hell out of The Sims.
Spore.
I played Spore. I love Civ.
Yep.
Pretty much any Civ from Sid Meier's. I'm all about that life. I just had to take the Civ 5 off my Mac because I need to move it on to my big boom fatty Mac.
Big fatty daddy Mac.
Because it was on a Mac that I gave to a good friend of ours. So I need to reinstall. But I got my save, so I'm all good. But yeah, so Battle Cry is a PC game. And to be honest with you, it's basically the safe harbor that I ran to when I came out of The Evil Within, which I talked a little bit about.
I remember that conversation.
Yep. And I was like, and then I played Battle Cry, and we played like 6-on-6, and it was so much fun, and it looked pretty. And then I moved on to other titles. I wanted to spend some time with Battle Cry.
Well, then let's do it right now.
Because I feel like Battle Cry actually should get some time. I think a lot of people are going to sleep on this game because, one, it's not the typical type of game that you would expect to come from Bethesda.
Okay.
Battle Cry Studios actually formed, and this is their first game that they're releasing. And I'll be honest with you, I was very surprised by it. So when I sat down to do my little demo, we were playing on systems that had Xbox controllers connected to them.
Okay.
So they were very comfortable to jump on with, you know, and it's very easy now to use an Xbox controller, a 360 controller with your computer. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to open up a chunk of gameplay for traditional console players.
I agree
to
with you.
Jump on to the PC to play a couple of games. Because I am not an ASDF warrior, guys. I wish I was. I'm not.
My skills are waning these days as I play less and less.
I'm all about controllers. So as long as I can use a controller, we're good. So in the game, you basically have six different types of characters that you can play on your teams. And the way that the game is set up is that the world had gone into a severe state of war battle. Constant destruction, mayhem, all that kind of thing. When all the nations reached a point of peace and signed a treaty, part of the treaty was that they banned gunpowder. So no nation could have or use gunpowder in any way, industry type at all, completely not created anymore. So no heavy weapons, they thought. Some years have passed, and of course, because the nature of man, some will argue, is to destroy so that he can create. People want to battle.
People want to fight.
And they feel that the only way that they can sometimes settle disputes between nations is to battle. So they have created a battle arena. And what every nation does is that they train combatants.
Six?
Yep. Surprise, surprise. Each a master of their own combat style. To then go into these arenas and basically fight for the honor and whatever
of resolving their dispute.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so these combatants are revered by the people.
Sounds like Hunger Games.
It kind of does, except there's no children.
Oh, well, that's good.
They're all adults.
So it's adult battle royale.
Basically. Which appealed to me right off the bat because, as you know, I love brawlers. So
right.
It's a brawler. But it's a massive brawler. So the way that the game is set up is that you can have 32 players battling it out at the same time. So take the brawler, put it on top of Mag's system, go.
Okay.
Where Mag gave you, what, like 64? So this does half, does 32. That's still a shit ton of people to be
playing. That is a lot of people to have to play
games
with.
And so the way that the game breaks down is that you have a brawler type, so your melee guy doesn't carry a weapon, but basically has brass or some other kind of metal knuckles. Heavy, fisted, all about the melee, so great in close combat. You have your archer.
Okay.
So that's your ranged. Yep. You have your dual wield sword.
Your DPS so damage.
Yep. You have your tank.
Okay.
Which has a heavy shield, can take a lot of damage.
Probably move slow, hit big hits.
Yeah, big hits, moves a little bit slower than everybody else. You have your techno guy, who is basically your gunsmith. But so even though you don't have gun powder,
you have a technician of sorts who can craft things for you. You have a technician
that can use basically steam and electricity.
Oh, steampunk battle cry.
Yeah. So it's definitely got that kind of feel to it because there is no gunpowder. So there's a lot that's relied upon from steam and electricity. Also, the style is very gorgeous, is the only way that I can say it. And it's because they had the same guy who did the artwork for Dishonored.
Okay, ooh, all right, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Victor, I think, Antonov, and he also worked on Half-Life 2, worked on that style. So the animation is very interesting. It is, however, a bloody game, but not in a gory way like a Mortal Kombat. When people die, they die. Like, I've been cut in half when I was playing the game, and it's one of the few things where I was getting more and more frustrated with the minute that I had to wait to respawn every time I was killed.
All right, so there's a lag,
So there's a respawn time, so you don't just die and immediately get back put back onto the board. So it's kind of like hockey where you end up with a power play because as your team takes out other members, it makes their team short members for a little while. So if you employ some crosstalk and some good strategy, you can wipe out an opponent's team fairly easy. The mode that we were playing was the first team to 76 kills.
Okay. Why 76?
I'm not exactly sure. I think that's like a multiplicative of like wiping out a team a certain amount of times. Oh, okay.
All right.
Or depending upon whether or not you have all of the country factions playing, that's probably killing every country at least once, every country's player at least once.
Whoa.
Is what I'm going to imagine.
That's a lot of murder.
Yeah, it is. Because it's just straight up brawler. But the way that the levels are designed, even though you don't have gunpowder, there are grapple points throughout the level. So as you're moving, and they really wanted motion to be fluid, you can be running, grapple up to a second story in a building, run through, slide down a pole, grapple another piece,
slide down
tuck
a pole,
and roll, find a hide spot.
I'll find your hide
spot. People out. The map on the lower right hand corner, which indicates where your team members are as well as where other people are on the map, actually was very easy to decipher. It's one of the things that sometimes it's hard to know what you should put on a HUD and what you shouldn't in order to make things easy for the player to understand where it is that they are and where they need to go. And I found the heads-up display in Battlecry to be very simple, which I like. It didn't clutter up the screen too much, so it allowed me to really just focus on the environment and where to go and where my hiding spots were that I could probably get a good shot off of, depending upon where my team was corralling people to go. The environment is also a weapon against you, so you can't just assume that, hey, if I jump off this cliff, I'm going to make it to that land down there. You might not, and that will count as a kill for
the other team.
Opponent, and you will also have to suffer through respawn time.
Ugh.
So you don't want to do that. But the game moves very, very fluidly. It's gorgeous to play. Like I said, we just did 6-on-6, so it'll be interesting to see how well it runs when you've got 32-player battles.
You have multiple countries going at the same time, too.
Yeah, and there are different types of gameplay modes, so it's not just, you know, team deathmatch, basically. There are other ways that you can play. But I really enjoyed the system, and as you do kills, you basically build up adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to do your super attack. So you can either, and my characters that I played, I had 4 adrenaline shots. So you could either hoard all your adrenaline to release it all in one fell swoop.
Shots.
Exactly. Or you could just do little one-off shots, like if you were in trouble.
Shots?
But you earn the adrenaline as you take out more enemies, basically more tactfully, as mm-hmm. opposed to just button mashing. So that was an interesting mechanic in the game. But every country, even though you have the same 6 styles,
it really depends on the people who are playing those characters to see the variation of what you're going to get.
But every nation has their own style of that character. So brawlers don't look the same across all the nations. All
right.
Just,
so there's differences.
There's different aesthetics.
Okay.
And their weapons are also different. And you can, as you earn ranks in the game, you can swap out different gear to customize your player to really be as steampunky or as much of a reflection of you as you want. Another thing that's very interesting is that when you are playing the game, you can in fact pause the game and decide to change the character type that you're playing while you're on a level. And you will then be that character the next time that you respawn. So if, you know, your team picked too many archers, you could choose as an archer to move to the dual sword wield or the technomage on your next respawn, because that's really where your team is lacking and you need that skill set. So you don't have to be stuck with the same type of character throughout the gameplay. And I know for me, I've been in games where, you know, I've picked the type of person that I want to play, and I feel like, damn, I did the wrong thing, and now I'm stuck in this, because unless I start the game completely over, I can't change it. So I really like the fact that you can do that in Battlecry. So all in all, I really was surprised. Like, I really just wanted to sit someplace that was out in the light and not in the dark of Evil Within right. anymore. But the game really played well.
Are you still getting haunted by visions of Boxman?
Like, mate, I'm not touching that game.
That's right, because I'm going to touch all over it.
Look, I'll be honest with you. Because of the experience that I had playing Evil Within, I didn't touch Outlast.
Outlast is a good game, though.
And I didn't touch Murdered Soul Suspect.
You didn't touch Murdered Soul Suspect?
No, I was going to, but after my experience with Evil Within, I was like, you know what?
Murdered Soul Suspect is nowhere near.
I know, but I'm just like, I don't need supernatural in my world right now. So I'm just gonna
You are one silly bird.
I'm just gonna not do that right now.
You are so silly.
I'm eventually gonna play Murdered Soul Suspect.
I'm surprised.
It's definitely like the type of game that's right up my alley.
It's up both of our alleys. Multiple alleys ups.
Instead, I've been finishing Wolfenstein and Infamous Second Son, which Second Son I just finished.
I really should play Watch Dogs.
You really should play Watch Dogs.
I've taken it out of its plastic.
That's nice. I haven't finished Watch Dogs. It's still in my living room because Wolfenstein. I started Watch Dogs. I got like four missions in. And I was like, but Wolfenstein. So Wolfenstein.
Such Wolfenstein.
No,
wow.
Serious, because such Wolfenstein. Many bullets.
Wow.
Bad Nazis.
Dogue. The Doge. Is it Doge?
Much game.
Doge meme? The Doge? Doge meme?
The Doge.
Doge meme. Doge meme.
Yeah. Much Nazis.
Wow.
Many bullets.
Wow.
Such wow.
Such wow.
Deep story.
You feeling it?
No, seriously. I know I haven't done my review yet. I swear, I'm going to get it done. But as soon as I finish
She's
the game.
She's going to do it?
I am, as soon as I finish the game. But I got to tell you, so far, I'm really impressed with Wolfenstein.
Well, I mean, I know that we're going to get more info on Doom at QuakeCon.
Yes. Which is only fitting.
So for all you Doomies, it's coming.
Doom is coming.
Doom is
coming. So that's what I got. That's my wad, and there you have it.
Oh, your wad, huh? Do you need a towel? Here, have one anyway.
Don't need a towel yet.
Yep, you should have that.
Nope.
First things first.
First things first. Wait, I was first things first.
All right, well then second things second.
Okay.
Which
second
is me.
Second things can't be first.
Right.
Because then they'd be first.
Because that would make Luigi Mario sometimes, and he's never Mario.
Luigi can never be Mario.
He can never be Mario. Anyway, if you are a Avatar lover, then you know that the Korra...
I had to figure out which Avatar you were talking
Korra.
About.
Legend of Korra.
Because you know...
Because book
supposedly
three.
Supposedly there's another Avatar movie in the works. Avatar
yes,
2.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
why...
Legend of Korra.
Wait. And M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong supposedly wants to do another Airbender movie.
He needs to leave Aang alone. Because he obviously doesn't get how to pronounce things. Anyway, so I'm talking Legend of Korra.
Did you even watch the second season?
Yes, I did.
Did you watch it because I bought it?
No. Oh. Yes, I did because it was on your Apple TV and I was like, what's this? Ooh. And book three just started up. So if you were not aware of that, you are now. I don't mind if you pause this to go watch the first episode. I wouldn't blame you.
No, we won't take offense. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Yep.
We'll
be here when you get back.
I have not watched it yet. However, another thing that I'm very surprised that I have not watched is True Blood. The final season has started, and from the public consensus, it does seem like the opener to this last season was very lackluster.
Yeah, okay, let's spoil the shit out of this,
because
I watched it.
Because I didn't.
So here's the deal, and I'm sorry, guys, if you're not into vampires and that kind of thing, and we started talking about, video games, just deal for a moment, because we are girls. So it's the last season of True Blood. And I really wanted it to not suck.
It's totally going to suck.
It is. So, within the first 5 minutes... All right, guys, seriously, spoilers. So, if you're into it, like, don't listen to us. Yeah. So, within the first... Not even 5 minutes, they kill Tara.
Are you serious?
Yep. Tara dead. So, like...
Well, I mean, she was already dead because
no, she's no, a no, vampire. No, true death. Puddle blood in her mom's hands.
No.
Trying to protect her mom from a vampire with the hep.
Right. The vep.
Yeah. So, Tara dead. So, right there, I'm like, you guys fucking lost me. I'm like, because the only things that I wanted out of this...
I wanted season, Pam and Tara to have some hot vampire sex.
Yes. That.
That Pam they will now not... Well, I mean, we already know for a fact that Pam went to go look for a very hot, burnt, naked, in the Alps,
yes.
Eric.
Yes.
If he happened to survive that.
Eric survived. Of course he survived.
Of course he did. Look at him.
Okay. But still, I'm just like, I needed Pam to get with Tara for, like, the redemption thing and all the things that she doesn't get out of Eric. Not gonna happen, because she's... a puddle of blood.
Well, I think we might. I mean, when I start watching,
you're gonna see her in flashbacks, obviously, and she's probably gonna hunt Sookie because you know.
Well, no, I think Sookie. We're gonna see like some of like Pam, like the minute, because like when your progeny dies, you feel it.
No, because they had a whole section with Pam across the globe in the same episode, and nothing.
Are you serious?
Nothing. Yes, she was playing a stupid vampire roulette game to try and get information about Eric. So she is so up Eric's ass right now. I'm like, really, your progeny died and like you didn't even like feel it?
Because I mean, anytime that Jessica got hurt, Bill was like, ugh. At least he felt something.
Yeah. Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
So I'm very disappointed to hear that.
The fuck? All right, so you have that happen. You have freaking Jess trying to protect the last of the Fae sisters that she didn't eat.
Right.
So that's kind of weird.
And they're talking Abigail, about Braylon.
Yeah. Blah, 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 named Danica. After all of her sisters. Yeah. Okay. And they're talking like about boys and she's trying to protect her from a vampire and eventually she gets invited in the house. It's going to be weird. I don't know what's going on there. Lord knows. I can't tell.
Then you might fuck.
Then you had the little baby vampire that Eric made to mess with the sheriff guy.
The daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the governor guy.
Yeah. So right now she's for whatever reason staying with Tara's mom. And the preacher, who was her stepdad, because she didn't want to go back to her place that she was split with Tara, because, you know, Tara was a puddle. It's just like, really, guys? Really?
Right.
Really? And I'm pretty sure they got a new actress to play Sam's girlfriend, the pregnant one. Oh, and she got kidnapped and is chained up in
the basement of Fantasia. Hot-haired Nubian princess has now been recast?
Yeah, I think they got a different actress.
Is she black still?
Kind of.
It's kind of like what they did in Game of Thrones.
It's just so bad. So I just want to get through it because, like, I know it's the last one.
They second sunned him.
Seriously. So I just want to get through it because it's the last one and I got to stay true to the end. But man, oh man, it sucks out loud.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that.
Sucks out loud. I would rather play the Castlevania game.
Which one?
The last one that sucked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one. I would play that one.
So let's move to something that's less sucky.
Wait. I would play the Devil May Cry game with Nero.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, stop it. You're hurting me.
Again, I would play that again.
Ah.
And then I would play the alien
Space Marines.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I would play that.
You're fucking with me. Stop it.
And then I would play Lightning Returns.
All right, out of the three, that's the least offensive.
Okay, I would play all of those.
No, you wouldn't. You would put a bullet in your head before
finish. I would rather play all of those.
Wow, okay.
All right, so that's how I feel about it.
Let's move away from the suck.
Yeah.
And more to the fucking awesome.
What you did there.
Yeah, see? Skills.
Yeah.
So for all of you guys who live the life of PC... and also...
What? More PC gaming?
More, yeah.
What?
I was hoping to make the transition earlier, but that's okay.
Oh, snapped it.
But if you lived in PC land and also happen to be one of them people who lives on Steam, you know that for the last week, you've had no existence at all.
Nope.
Because from June 19th pretty much till today, there has been the summer Steam sale.
Is coming.
Well, it already came.
Did your wallet?
Interestingly enough. I've had a Steam account for a couple years, but like, you know, Macs don't have a lot of games out for them, and we are a Mac household.
Civ. You have Civ.
Right. Well, I mean, I have Portal.
Yep.
And I have the Stanley Parable because they made one of those available.
You also could have.
And had, I got papers. I was gifted papers, please.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good.
And one day I jump on Steam and the four friends that I have on my Steam, because I don't have that many.
You have four friends? I have no friends.
I have four friends. And they were like, what team are you on? And I'm like, team? Team for what? And they're like, duh, the summer Steam sale. I'm like, there are teams? Like, I had no, and they're like, you dude, obviously don't.
You do not participate in Steam sales, obviously.
I don't normally. So they're like, well, you should do it because it's totally great. So I'm like, let me see what this fucking shit is all about. And I was shocked. So, of course, the summer sale went off. And as soon as you agree that you want to, you know, be a part of the game, I'm using air quotes here, game, they assign you to a team. And there were five teams. There was a red team, the blue team, there was a green team, there was a purple team, there was a pink team. And Panda...
Tell me you were not on the pink team.
I was on the pink team.
Damn it!
I didn't do it. You can't choose your team. Like, you get assigned to a team. So what happens during the magical sale is, for every $10 you spend, you will get a little thing in your mailbox that's like a summer sale card or whatever season card you're in. Fall, summer, spring, whatever. And if you can collect 8 or 10 of these, I do believe it is 10, you can then group those cards together in like a magical transformation, like a pretty girl transformation, and they can become a badge. Those badges can be converted into points, and that's how you score points for your team. A Steam sale day started from 1 p.m. to 1 p.m. the next day. So every day for the last 10 days at 1 o'clock, they would announce who the winner of the previous day was, because once that it was 101, it was now the beginning of an additional day. So I went from having 2 Steam games to 6.
Somebody heard sale and went crazy.
I was very tactful because the thing was, for the first few days of the sale, like, the red team was just dominating the board. Like, they were just putting up these insane numbers and just crafting all these badges. By the way, you could craft badges and farm them through playing certain games through the Steam sale too. I'll get a little bit into that a little bit later. But anyway, red was just kicking butt the first like 3 days, and like, no matter what any of the other teams were really kind of doing. And finally, halfway through the Steam, guys were like, you know what? Apparently, if you won, let me go back. If you won the day, everyone on your team got a game off their wish list for free.
Yeah.
So it really made you inclined to go look and see what games that they had so you could put them on your wish list, so that, you know, a game that you don't want to buy at retail price, you could totally get at a ridiculously reduced price during the sale. Like, it was very ideal the way they baited their hooks this year. Anyway, so halfway through, the Steam guys realized that, you know, red was just dominating. And they're like, you know, we have to make this enticing for everybody on teams, because not everybody is going to win. Which, I mean, I think you would think they would know that making a contest. So what they did is they changed it up so that the top three teams, like, the top team would get 50 people off of that team would get games. And then on the second one, like, 30 people would. And on the third one, they'd get like 15 random people would get games. However, you had to be contributing to the points to be in that entry,
right?
Which, in order to put points on the board, you had to get 10 of those cards to then convert it to the badge to relate to points, which Panda did not necessarily get that concept. Because I
blew your wad early, didn't you?
No, because I never got all the cards to craft. I just thought, oh, I bought a game today, I'm totally in the running. And then one day, because the great thing about Pink Team is that on day, I think it was day 8, Pink Team was just like, we're not taking it anymore. And like, this is what I imagine that these people that don't really know each other were just like, they're killing us out there. Red's killing us. We have to do something about this. And like, they all just happened to rally together and farmed like crazy. And they won day 8. And, you know, the great thing about Steam is, like, they're very interactive with their communities. And they had so many little cute graphics. And the day that my team won, they had a graphic of the pink, because it was, like, an avatar with a shape. Yeah. And they had the pink avatar literally flipping the game board, which was totally fucking cool. And I was like, yeah! Not that I had anything to do with that, except for that one game for $10 I bought. Yeah! And, like, I felt so good for, like, that. It was, like, 5 seconds. But needless to say, it was an interesting experience because I've never been involved in a Steam sale before. Like, I've seen the memes and I've heard people talk about them constantly, like, all the time when one's happening, or even just on Thursdays.
No,
Steam's having a sale this Thursday. like every Thursday they have a sale of some kind.
Yeah, no, it blows up your socials.
It does. Like your whole life becomes about the Steam sale until it's over, and then everybody's sad that the Steam sale's over until Thursday when another sale happens. But needless
this
to say,
it's not the big sale.
It's not the huge ones that the memes are about, but they're still interesting to enjoy. But anyway, at the end of all that, I do have the results from the 10-day sale because it does officially end today. And red was the most victorious, had the most wins. Purple came in second, pretty much kind of trying to they were like considered the rival team. Like they competed with red a lot and came really close. Pink team, we came in third, but we were called the Avenger because we completely just kicked red's ass and left them for dead on the side of a mountain with their femur broken out. Yeah, Game of Thrones reference, whatever. Green.
Kill me!
Green, kill me!
Exactly.
Green came in fourth, and they were, they didn't score a lot. They didn't win a lot of days. But that's right, because blue was just beyond help. There was no winning for the blue team at all. But this, I found, was a very interesting way, already on top of building a Steam system that, one, has constant sales going on every week, to then hype it up to get so many people out there buying games and stuff. I mean, I probably would have bought more if there had been more for the Apple, the Mac, for me to play. But that's okay. It's okay because I now have a Steam backlog that I never thought I'd actually have. Like, I mean, I got Binding of Isaac for like $3. Like,
okay.
Yeah, and the DLC was like $1. Like, come on. And I got Elysium, the Tale of Something, where you're like a bunny ninja. I got that for like $6. Like, come on.
No, you gotta do it. You gotta
like,
do it.
Like, when the iron sale is hot, you have to hit it with your hammer.
The Steam sale is no joke.
No joke.
You know, if I had a PC, I would definitely enjoy it more.
Right.
Because, like, with you, my downside is the Mac game stuff.
There are more and more coming out that are becoming Mac accessible, but I mean, the quality of game does not necessarily shine through there. So there's some that might, I could get it, but what's the point? I'm not going to want to play it. But still, there were some really great indie titles that were just up for grabs. And then, you know, today, like the last official day, like everything is just on sale and we're not really competing and we're just, everything that was on sale is just on sale. Just open your wallets more than you have for these last 10 days and just go for broke.
I mean, bro. Seriously, you gotta go for it.
Well, no, I'm done.
No, don't. Don't be done. No. Go for it.
I'm done till the next Steam big sale because I want to win. Like, I like the element of having, like, all these no-named unsung people just doing everything that they can to boost their numbers and, like, that level of competitiveness without all the trash talking or any of that stuff. Like, it was interesting. It was thrilling for me to watch the little dials go up and down to see how much points are being accumulated. Like, it was like a lava lamp, like an internet lava lamp, where like the bubbles would bubble up and like, ooh, it's a red one right now. Ooh, it's a green one. Ooh, there's a pink one. Like, you're just like, oh. That's what it was like. And like, this was my first experience. So, I mean, I wonder if all my experiences are going to be like that. So that's what I have on the game front. More geekery stuff, but light geekery stuff, as I've just read the first four trades of a comic book called Why the Last Man.
Okay.
Which, if you've ever read Pride, it's Pride of Baghdad. Or if you're a big fan of, if you like the element and style of Watchmen.
Okay, which, yes.
Or, Transmet.
Yes.
Then you'll appreciate this comic, Why the Last Man, because, and I mean, these are the first four issues. It's the first trade. And now I'm hooked. I'm like, I don't know anyone who has all of them.
But
now.
You couldn't read the Batgirl series that I gave you. The entirety.
I know.
I gave you the entire run.
I know. It's horrible.
In more and better than.
And I did this. I read dishes. And I read these four trades in under 2 hours.
I was at
the coffee shop.
Why won't you read it? I don't understand. You would fucking love Cassandra Cain. I don't get it.
I would. You're right. I've had discussions with people who have told me how awesome she is. And I'm like, my sister gave me the comics. I should read them. And then I forget.
You should fucking read them.
And anyway, let me talk a little bit about Why the Last Man.
I'm so upset.
So what happens in Why the Last Man is we're really just getting exposed to certain areas of the world. We're getting exposed to several different areas in the world, like all over, like Tel Aviv, we're in Israel, we're in Boston, we're in New York, we're like pretty
worldwide.
Worldwide, New York, yeah, essentially. And we're getting used to our protagonist characters and this guy named Yurik, who is talking to his girlfriend who's in Australia because she's like an anthropologist or something.
Okay.
And they're just like talking, and he's apparently like an illusionist, like he's an escape artist. And he's like in the midst of a trick while they're talking, and like there's this ticking time clock that's going on in every other frame, so something's, you're counting down to something, and you don't really, well, I mean, if you understand the title, you have an idea. But what happens that at the end of this time clock, all the men in the world die. Like, they just start throwing up blood. They just all die. Anything with a Y chromosome just dies.
Well, that's no good.
No. And it's weird because right at the moment that this happens, Yurik, who's on the phone with his girlfriend Beth, proposes to her over the phone. So, you know, and Yurik's mother is a congresswoman. He has a sister who's an EMT and also kind of sexually active. I don't want to say whore, but I mean,
activities are going on.
Sextivities are going on. Mm-hmm. And like her EMT mates are all like, she just does all the firemen. Like, she's just really into men with giant hoses. Like, what a skank. I hope she gets herpes. And like, and they're all like in the back, like there. So I'm like, this chick, her name is Hero, by the way, is like hearing these bitches talking smack. And she's like, no, this man's the one for me. And like, as she's saying this, all of a sudden he starts to choke on his own blood and he like dies. Yeah, but apparently at the end of all this, it cuts back to Yurik and he's still alive. And Yurik also has a monkey named Ampersand. You know that squiggly and?
Yes, I know what an ampersand is.
Yeah. And Ampersand is also a boy, but they are alive. And they're the only, so far, because I haven't read all of it, but the premise is they're the last, well, he is the last human male alive. So chaos is going on because women are ruling. You've got this clan of women who are so like, oh man, anything with a Y chromosome has to die. You know, we can't have this, you know, we can't have this patriarchy memorabilia.
Patriarchal?
Yeah, we can't have their memorabilia anymore. We have to get these women to stop thinking about men. You know, it's just women love, man. Like, it gets really insane to the point where some of these women in this, you know, the daughter of Amazon clan are, like, cutting off their boob, like, one of their boobs. Because apparently real Amazons did this to be better at archery, because, you know, boobs get in the way of, you know, projectiles and stuff.
Boobs could get in the way.
Boobs get in the way of a lot of things.
You know, here's the thing. You could tie them down, though.
You could, but no, these women are like, no, we're hard and tough. We're just going to lop off our tits.
Yeah.
We're lopping them off.
Thanks, though.
There's a lot going on because, you know, like I said, Yurik is starting to realize he's the only man. Women are everywhere who seem to not really like him. Granted, he's a character that you're going to grow to like, because at first he's kind of whiny and, Beth, I love you, and I can't fix it without you. And she's just like, I'm in fucking Australia, man. Like, no. Like, whatever. But the animation seems really great. So far, we've been introduced to a shit ton of characters. And at the end of the four trades, you find out that his sister, who he's looking for, because he's found his mom, who's like fighting off Republicans at the White House. It's a really interesting sub story. But he's like, I have to find my sister while we're on our way to Australia, because I have to go find my fiance / girlfriend, even though I didn't technically hear her say yes when I asked her. But yeah,
that's a technical foul.
A little bit, because he's like, hello, and she doesn't answer, and I'm just like, okay. I'm like, she didn't say yes because you didn't hear it. But he's so lovesick in love with her that I feel like we're going to get we're going to see them together, and she's going to be like, babe, I don't know how I feel about marrying you. I mean, you are the last man on earth, so I mean, it would probably be productive for me.
I mean, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Like, but all the, like, the it's hilarious. Because, like, when he meets his mom, he's like, I'm going to go to Australia and find Beth. And she's like, fuck no, you're not. You have to help us repopulate. And he's like, I'm not going to go have anonymous sex with all these women to help the United States. She's like, no, no, I'm talking globally. And I'm like, that is a lot.
That's a lot of humping.
That's a lot of humping for one man.
You can't just put that on your son.
Like, oh, well, hey. she was ready to. She was ready to lock him down in a bunker that wouldn't open for like 30 years if she couldn't. She was ready to. But he managed to get out because, hello, escape artist. And there's been several times that he has escaped out of clutches of harm because he was able to get out of handcuffs or whatever restraint they put him in, which is kind of funny. But it's a really interesting premise that we're dealing with. Like, what happens when you completely eradicate one side of gender? Like, I mean, I feel like this could have been a very interesting piece, too, if they'd gone the other way. And, like, there'd been one woman left. So, I mean, I just started it. I have no idea what I'm in for. I have to find a place to get more.
It's called the internet.
I have to get money to use the internet. To buy more so I can read them. But if you like what you heard me talk about, then you should go and absorb all the contents.
Absorb all the contents!
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but his name is Yurik. You know, like, Yurik from Hamlet?
No.
Alas, poor Yurik. I knew
yes,
you
yes, well. Yes, we got that. Yes, yes.
Picked with up a skull.
That. Yeah, picked up on that.
And his sister's name is Hero, and she's also obscure Shakespeare reference because their father was a theater drama teacher. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. That's all the stuffs I've been doing. Next week I'll probably be talking about 3 of the 4 games I bought off the Steam sale because I'll play them.
Because it's going to be busy.
Well, maybe I might, because I might also be talking about my birthday.
You shouldn't be talking about your birthday. It will have passed.
I'd be like, my birthday happened.
Yeah, no, we're...
Yeah, yeah.
So on the final tip, because we can, let's do a little anime.
Sure.
We haven't done that in a while.
I haven't watched... Well, I mean, I have been watching Sailor Moon because it is doesn't available count. On...
You already Hulu. Watched it. Doesn't count.
Yeah, but I'm stuff. Watching it. I'm watching it.
New stuff.
I'm watching it subbed now.
New stuff.
And I've watched... And I'm watching episodes that it got cut from the initial U.S. run.
New stuff. Wait. So, do they have the episodes up yet where they didn't let
Like, them? Literally, so far, in the first 10 episodes that I've watched, there are clearly 4 episodes that I do not remember watching dubbed. Because they're... And you know what? I kind of hate to say this, because I'm probably going to get a lot of haterade for this.
Oh, here we go.
But here it comes. I actually feel I like the dub version better.
What? Wait! No, 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 no! This does not happen! You like the dub of Sailor Moon better than the sub?
Here's...
What?
Yeah.
No.
I'm watching it, and I mean, I'm still enjoying it for its nostalgia's sake, but I feel like things are askew for me because, I mean...
Because nostalgically, what you watched was the dub.
Yes.
So that's where you have the love.
And I mean, and...
Okay, so do you remember back in the day when I was talking about some series, and you're like, no, it's better subbed. I'm like, no, it's not. It's what I watch, so that's what I have the feels for.
And I gave you so much shit for it, and now I'm expecting to get all the shit back. Because, like, I
will pay back.
I went and I started to watch it, and the first 5 were available, and I got to the 5th episode, and I'm like, it actually slightly pained me. and like I said, there were several episodes that were not in the initial U.S. run because of censorship and all that stuff. And the character dynamics for me, because I'm coming from dubbed then subbed, are a little off to me.
You think?
Like, they're way off from what my perception is. Now, mind you, I mean, it's a lot more funny. Like, I feel like Serena Usagi is so much more campier and more whinier in the sub in the sub version. And don't get me wrong, she's meant to be a klutz and she's meant to kind of be that character, but it seems like that voice actress really kind of had that nailed more so than the US. Like, the deliveries are so much different and the context is so much different. that, like, I am struggling. Like, I literally could not watch the episode where Sailor Mercury comes into play because she was just so boring.
Sailor Mercury is supposed to be boring.
I know, but she was more boring than I remember her being boring.
Well, like, it's interesting that you bring that up because they just put on Crunchyroll the preview trailers
for Crystal.
For Crystal, both with the background music and without the background music, which was kind of interesting to see. I don't know if I'm going to watch Crystal. I think I am, though.
I'm going to watch Crystal, but even though I heard through the internet. Okay. That
so that's how you know it's true.
Well, no, it was
the
from
internet said
the I believe it was the HuffPost was posting that there was this internet.
Again. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
No, but the HuffPost was reporting that apparently this anime cosplaying group in the Midwest somewhere. I'm gonna say north.
Just
of
say Midwest.
I'm gonna say north.
Right.
I'm gonna say north of Texas was boycotting Sailor Moon Crystal and was going. They were saying that they were going to commit suicide if it got released.
Why?
Because they're just so mad.
About what?
I don't know.
It's
but,
more Sailor Moon. Why are you mad?
And some people
Why
are just
are you mad,
they're
bro?
Picking they're picking things like, "Oh, the animation's different." It's okay. Been how many years?
That's fine. Anime style has changed in the last couple of decades.
It's like, "Ooh." You know, not to mention, they're getting their original Sailor Moon voice actress back because apparently Japanese voice actors and actresses don't age and their voices don't change, so they can be their roles forever.
Yeah.
Like,
it is a magical, mystical land.
There's something in the hot springs water.
I obviously need to go to a hot spring.
We need to go to Japan.
We should go to Japan.
So that we can stay young
so
forever,
because
that's apparently
forever.
What's happening in Japan.
No, I saw a photo of a mother and daughter that looked like they were the same age, and they're like, "She's 40. I was like, "You're full of shit.
Like, let me see your license. Put that in English so I can read it.
And I was like, well, shit. That's really all I had to say. So, the series that I'm going to talk about really quickly is definitely one that I recommend. I believe that you can watch it on both Hulu as well as Crunchyroll. I watched it on Crunchyroll, and it's called Beinhildr in the Darkness.
Beinhildr
in the Darkness.
Beinhildr in the Darkness.
Yeah, it's a big, long name.
Is it a German lady in the darkness?
No. So,
does it have wizards in it?
But it's kind of dark, so it might have been done by Germans. But it's not like...
Does it give you a monster vibe?
No. But it's not like...
Is it like Rose and Maiden?
It's not Rose and Maiden, and it's not the Pink Hair Girls one. Elfin Lied. It's not that
what about,
dark.
Is it like Gilgamesh?
No, it's not that dark.
Well, it's German, so it's pretty dark.
No, it's got some... I think, like, 3 German people worked on it.
Okay.
So it didn't have a full German crew on it.
All right.
But basically, the story revolves around and starts with these two friends, who are childhood friends. And by childhood, I mean like 5, 6-year-old.
Okay.
Boy and a girl. The kid's name's Murakami. The girl is Kuroneko. And they have been friends for a long time. And the girl always loved stars. And so the boy would always try to take her someplace where they could see him, and he promised that he would take her to the best field that he knew of, where they could see all the stars at night.
And then he died.
In order to get there, they had to cross, like, this dam, and they couldn't go across it on the top. And so the girl's like, no, we can get there. Just let's do this. And so she led him across the pipe. He started to fall. He reached out his hand and grabbed her. They both fell. He wakes up in the hospital, and his family's there, and they're nursing him back, and he wants to see her, and everyone's like, well, no, she's still recovering, so you can't see her yet, but once you guys are both, you know, in a good place, then you can. He gets to the point where it's the day for him to go home, and everyone tells him that actually she died. So he was the only one that survived. So he had to carry with him for most of his adolescent life that he was responsible for her dying. And he always wanted to make that up to her. So much so that he joined an astronomy club and kept it going at his high school, even though he was the only person, as a way to honor her memory.
Okay.
he's going home one night and he sees this girl who really looks like a grown-up version of her and approaches her and she's like, I don't know who you are, but I'm not Kuroha. My name is Kuroneko and we're not the same person. You should leave me alone. But also, you should not take the bus home tonight because you might die. And he's like, what? It's kind of a weird conversation to have. Like, I don't know.
It's like, I don't know who you are. Leave me alone, but I want you to avoid death.
And she's like, no, just trust me. If you get on the bus and to go home, you're going to die at night. So don't get on the blah, blah, blah bus and you'll be fine.
Okay, so just get on the bus.
Well, he's like, I'm going to prove her wrong. Why would I even listen to her? I don't even know who she is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait. I'm going to take the later bus and then I'm going to get home and it's going to be fine. It's going to be totally fine. It's no big problem. Well, what actually happens is it turns out that this girl is a witch. And not in, like, a mystical, like, crazy power way.
Like an earth crunchy of the land witch.
But kind of a combination of lab-made plus ethereal power witch. Okay. And there are several of these witches who have a being called a grain embedded in them that allows them to manifest their power. If the grain is ejected, they melt.
Oh.
And die.
Oh.
And...
so extreme.
They also have these pills that they have to take every, it's either 24 or 48 hours. And if they don't.
They melt?
They'll melt and die.
Like witches that melt.
And so they can all use power and they have different levels of power, but it has different costs.
Okay.
Kuroneko's cost is she loses her memory.
Oh.
So the boy, Murakami, believes without a doubt throughout the entirety of the series that Kuroneko is his friend Kuroha, but he can't prove it until you almost get to the end and you meet a bunch of other witches, including Katori, who has a very, very sad line. But basically, the whole story is these girls just want to be girls and live their lives and, like, fall in love. Like, there's one girl who's like, I just don't want to melt and be a virgin when it happens.
Oh, God, so she's very, I want to get laid.
Not so much that she wants to get laid, but she really wants to find love, and she doesn't want to die a virgin. Like, if she has to go, she's like, at least I want to find love and have that experience before I go.
Is she young?
Well, they're all, like, in second year of high school.
Oh, okay.
So that's how they get across that line of, like, they're probably 16 and 17.
Oh, man, they're, like, in high school. They've totally fucked at least
once. Even though when
you
look at the way that they're drawn, you're like, no, they're totally 13 and 14.
Of course.
But whatever. So, the series goes along, and it's, as you start exploring it, it's really about these new witches that are introduced to the story, and
it sounds very Madoka Magica.
It kind of is. Like, I would put it in that level of darkness.
Oh, all right. So it's going to it gets eerie.
It does. There's a guy who's involved, and basically he doesn't give a shit about any life on the planet except for his sister. It turns out that when she died, basically all of his humanity went with him because he took her skull and her brain and has been working on science to bring her spirit soul back through one of these witches.
For science?
So he gives, like, no shit about any witch unless it's his sister's soul re-brought back.
Oh.
But, yeah. So, he's a bastard, and one of the most powerful witches, Valkyria, is, like, head over heels in love with him. Oh, and she can make antimatter. So, that's a problem.
That's great.
That's it. So, she emotionally goes off the deep end anytime he doesn't pay attention to her. Anybody that she perceives as a threat or gets up in the business or even tries to take any attention from Chisato away from her, she decides that she's gonna just blow to smithereens.
Oh, of course.
So, of course, him wanting to basically just, you know, melt all the dysfunctional witches, as he's termed them, is a problem for
everybody.
And then bad, sad things ensue. Like, lots of melting little girls.
Oh, jeez.
Who die with, you know, wishes of just wanting more time, or to see another sunset, or to ride a Ferris wheel.
Oh,
and
man.
You're just like, come on, really? The feels? I can't handle.
Like, all she wanted was to get a blue pinwheel at the next,
like,
festival.
There's literally one point where one of the girls is blown in half by Valkyria, and is telling Murakami that he has to go because he has to save Kuroneko and not to waste his time. Like, literally, you see her two halves basically side by side.
Of course.
And so she's like, no, it's okay. I'll be fine. This is what you need to do. You can't be focused on me right now, but you have to save her because at least one of us needs to survive and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, I'll be back for you. And he runs off into this house to try and find them. And then she's laying there and she's like, even at the end, I couldn't tell him how I felt about him. I'm so pathetic. I can't believe I'm actually going to die a virgin. I can't, but, you know, hey, at least I did fall in love before
I
died.
Oh, man. Oh,
and, like, see, closes yeah, no. her eye and a single tear runs down. And you're like.
And then she melts.
No. Oh, I'm so sad. I can't even. And the episode's not over. So
of course not.
Yeah. Just, like, shit goes boop. But it's really, the style very much reminds me of Puella. So I highly recommend it. If you have either Crunchyroll or, like I said, Hulu Plus, you definitely want to check them out. It has its moments of saccharine because it really is about the relationship between these two. Like, the only identifying mark on Kuroha is that she had 3 moles on her underarm.
Right.
And so, like, in the first beginning episodes, Murakami's always looking there to see if they're there, and they're not. There eventually becomes an episode where they're fighting a very strong witch and part of her clothing gets damaged, Kuroneko's, and you see that she has the moles on her boobs. And he goes, of course, her skin stretched when she got older. That's why they moved. You really are her.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, the witch that they're fighting can reverse time. Okay. And is able to basically kill Kuroha. And Murakami is able to damage her in such a way that she's going to die unless she reverses time. So she does, and it basically drains her.
Right.
So once she does, they go back to before he saw the damage done and he could see the thing, the moles,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to take the witch out. So then he spends another 4 or 5 episodes not knowing that it's her. So you get so frustrated because you're like, no, you know it's her.
You just found out it was her.
Oh.
So that makes me wonder that, like, in order to become a witch in this universe, your body has to die. And then they do some science-y thing to it.
Correct. You're not just naturally, inherently a witch.
Right.
So there's that.
Cool.
So, yeah, I really, really recommend it. So make sure that you check it out. And make sure that you check out our podcast every week. You can subscribe in iTunes, either on your desktop application or in the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. You'll also find us in the Microsoft Store. You'll also find us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You'll also hear this show on Tuesdays on the VogNetwork.com right before Anime Jam Session on Tuesdays. So make sure that you check out VogNetwork.com and all the other amazing shows over there because I gotta tell you, the lineup is spectacular, so make sure that you check that stuff out. Also, make sure that you check out what the rest of the crew is up throughout the week. All of our written reviews can be found on egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. The entire team puts up reviews, previews, and just thought pieces there, so make sure that you visit our page and subscribe to the page there so when new articles drop, you can listen to them and hear them first, read them, share them. Put them out on the socials. I don't care.
Put a bow on it.
Do stuff with them. We don't judge. You can also check out team members' shows on their various websites, starting with No Borders, No Race, held down by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, which you'll find at b3crew.com. You'll also be able to check out some of the freshest stuff in EDM trap and beats that make you go wiggle, 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 wiggle at geekagro.com, checking out the podcast there that the homeboy Deuces Wild puts together. I'm telling you, if you need a mix to really help you get through that workout or just get through your drive, trust me, Geek Agro is what you want to check out. And then on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live, be part of the show. It goes on the YouTubes. It's pretty flippin' sweet. Do it. And for the rest of your nerd needs for the rest of the week, make sure that you subscribe to us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. If there's something you want us to check out, play, review, preview, or whatever, hit us up on our page and let us know. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter at ESH News and do the same diddly dang thing. Do it. Do it to it. So with that, I've covered all the business. It's the point in the show where I say, hey, sis.
Yeah.
What shit you digging this week? And don't say your birthday.
Lozenges for my throat.
There you go.
So I can talk on my birthday. What shit are you digging this week?
Macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, girl, I had some with bacon and mushrooms today at the Ale House in Amesbury.
And with that, because I'm so over that shit because nobody brought me home any, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pantalicious.
And until next week, guys.
Keep it classy.
Happy 4th of July.